about. Let me clear up a couple of points from last time. Last time, by the way, this is my book. Last time, I hope, inshallah, you got some benefit from the hour and a half. It wasn't meant just to kill an hour and a half. But after what we went through yesterday, if you pick up any book on Usul al-Fiqh, and from the beginning when they define Usul al-Fiqh, you'll be able to tell where the author is coming from, what kind of point of view he's coming from, and how he defines Usul al-Fiqh, and what he will cover. Now, I assume you all remember this from last time. This is the definition of what? What? This is the definition of usul. Okay, those who said this is the definition of usul, yani you're one leg out of the class. But this is the definition of fiqh. Okay, the science of the ahkam. By the way, ahkam, what we mean by here, when we restrain it, we're talking about whether something is wajib or mubah or haram or sahih or batil, whether something is obligatory or forbidden or sound or void. Anyway, as I was writing it on the board, there was some discussion about this word. Should it be feminine referring to ahkam or masculine referring to ilm? Well, I found it in five books. This is the traditional Shafi Usuliyin definition of fiqh. So you can find it in many books. And all of them had it masculine. And in the Subki's book, Jam' al-Jawami', the one who wrote the commentary, Muhalla, he wrote clearly, as if he knew, you know, someday someone like me was going to try to teach this, and someone like our brother would try to refute me. ذَلِكَ الْأَلْمِ يعني, it is referring to him, so that is the correct definition. This is a small point, but I thought I would get it out of the way. So to review, we didn't say this explicitly, but there's some things, as I said, I want to clear up from last time. The science of fiqh, which that is the definition of which we went over last time. Science of fiqh tells us if something is wajib, is obligatory, recommended, or permissible, or what else is there? There's five. Or haram, forbidden, or disliked. Okay. Fiqh also tells us if something is sound, what I mean by that is sahih, or void, meaning batil, or, and this is for the Hanafis in the class, or irregular, meaning fasid. And the other madhahab, they only have sound and void. Okay, fiqh also, the science of fiqh also includes the particular evidences for practical matters. Okay, the particular evidences for practical matters. That is what fiqh. These are the things that we learn through fiqh. And these things we are not going to be studying here, right? This has nothing to do with what we're... I shouldn't say nothing, I guess. Everybody have this definition? Have this? Musawad, did you write this down? Okay, now Usul al-Fiqh tells us what? Notice how much I'm trying to avoid writing in Arabic today after last week. Okay, what does usul al-fiqh, yani? This is what we talked about last time. What does it tell us? Quick, I mean, this is like a review of last time. So this should come out quickly. Was for me. That's pretty quick, wouldn't you say?
How to get the label
from the evidence. Okay, how to drive legal rulings from the adilla or evidence. Okay. From the adilla. What else? Is that all? Remember Bah Hussein's definition of usul al-fiqh? Okay. Also, who is qualified to use those okay. What else? I think you're thinking of this one. What else did we say? Trying to see if last time was really a waste of time or not. Yeah, that's how to drive legal rulings. That's number two. Who was qualified to use those rules? Pardon me? Okay. What? This is very important also. According to our definition of usul al-fiqh here, what is and is not an acceptable form of evidence. MashaAllah. What is and is not an acceptable form of evidence. Right? And there's one more that we didn't really, I didn't really mention it yesterday. And that is the relationship between the types of evidence. Types of evidences. Is that correct in English? Evidences? Thank you. You see why I move a lot is to get out of the way so you can take a picture of the board.
Yeah. Evidence is
not big problem. Huh? Okay. We use the term ulama loosely in this class. But now, for example, some types of evidence are stronger than other types of evidence. So if there's a conflict between two types of evidence, usul al-fiqh tells you which one takes precedence over the other. Okay, 3 and 4 just tells you what is an acceptable form of evidence or what isn't. Number 4 ranks them in order of strength. For example, a hadith which is mutawatir or has been narrated by many people on each chain is a type of evidence. So is the hadith which is ahad. Both of them are a type of evidence. But if there's a conflict between the two, which one is stronger? So the fiqh also tells us which one is stronger, which one takes preference. Now these four, except for the last one, they should have been clear from what we talked about last time. Okay, so this class is not about this stuff over here. It is about that stuff over there. Okay, is that clear? Any questions about that? But yesterday there was after class. Yes. Pardon me. What was it? Which one? This one? Fasid. Yeah. Again, this is just the Hanafi madhab. Is this clear? Question? You look very confused, brother. How come they're all from the same university as you? See, I left out the name of the university. You told me to leave out names because of the tape. But they're all from the same university as you are from. But is this clear? Okay. After the class on Tuesday, there was a couple people made comments after the class that showed me that there's one other point that I have to clarify. Okay. This one, number one here, it is talking about the qawaid or the legal maxims. Or qawaid. As I said last time, legal maxims actually is not a good definition for what we're talking about here. And apparently, from what I heard after class, I should clarify the difference between three things. One is the qawaid al-usuliyya, I didn't leave myself enough room. Huh? That's a problem when you write from the other side. Okay. No, because I'm going to write it here. Okay. I'm going to call this now general legal maxims. It's legal maxims. Okay. Pardon me? What's what? I'm sorry? Okay, let me write them first and then I'll get to them. Okay, the other one is al-qawaid. Al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. Okay. These are, I'll call them, since you said in Turkish you have the word fiqh, I'm going to use fiqh then. I'm going to call these fiqh maxims. Okay. And then we have Dawabit al-Fiqhiyya. Since I don't remember how to spell Dawabit in Arabic, I'll write it in English. Dawabit al-Fiqhiyya. I'm going to call this one Little Fiqh Maxim. Okay, let's talk about what's the difference between the three of them. And then we'll talk about, it will be clear to you what we're going to discuss in this class. Pardon me? Constraints? Here it means, that's a very good translation for Dawabit here. Dawabit Fiqhiyya. I know it doesn't seem like good, but it's good. Okay. Usul al-fiqh is a study of those four things. Number one is referring to al-qawaid al-usuliyya. Okay? These qawaid are independent of any fiqh question or any fiqh matter. Any masala fiqhiyya. In a second, I will give examples of that. Yeah, I'm going to give examples of it, and when I give examples, it'll be clear what I mean by it. Fiqh maxims, or al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. Al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya is a qawaid, or a ruling that applies to many cases, independent of the topic of fiqh. What we're really talking about is many cases that are based or that go back to the same qiyas. on the same deductive analogy or qiyas. Yes, this is what Quwa al-Faqiyya are. For example, who can give me an example of Quwa al-Faqiyya?
Quwa al-Faqiyya?
Naywa?
Jaffa. Alam al-Sadiqin biya.
Okay. نعم. In English, brothers. This is an English class. Not an English class, excuse me. This is a class in English. There's a big difference between the two. Yes? Okay, for example, let's take an easy one. Yani necessity renders, okay, yani forbidden things illegal, makes forbidden things legal. Is that the easy one? Not the way I said it. Necessity renders prohibited things permissible. Huh? In English? Necessity. It's the same in Arabic, by the way. Prohibited things. Okay, necessity renders prohibited things permissible. No. This is an example of Qawaid Faqhiyya. Okay. This is a qaida faqhiyya. Now, I said that this is what we mean by qawaid faqhiyya, many cases that are based on the same analogy. In other words, whether you're talking about salat, or you're talking about fasting, or you're talking about hajj, or you're talking about many different topics in usul al-fiqh, in fiqh, you can apply this principle. Okay? For example, with respect to prayer, if someone has his arm cut off, for example, from here, and he'll be excused from putting his hands here. Also, in the case of Hajj, he has some particular conditions, he'll be excused from certain things. So this is a principle or maxim that can be applied in almost any topic of fiqh. Okay? So therefore it is called a fiqh maxim or qaida faqhiyya. Okay? This is not the type of thing we're going to be studying here. Okay, unless we get to the end of the class, near the end of the class, if you look at the reading list, I devoted a separate lecture for that, but I don't really believe we'll get there, but anyway. It is actually not a topic in usul fiqh. But it is an interesting topic, that's why if we have time we'll get to it later. Okay? Now, yes. Yes. Okay. With respect to wudu, if someone has his arm cut off from here, and he doesn't have to wash, obviously, that part of it, okay, because of necessity. Okay? Yes. I said it, independent of any sub question. We're going to get to examples of it, okay? Just be patient. Okay, another example is hardship similar to this. Yani hardship begets facility. What is in Arabic, quickly? Yani hardship, if something is difficult, then the law makes it easy. That's qaida faqhiyya. Yani if something, you don't have to get to the point of dhurura. If something is hard on the people, then also you apply the principle that you try to make it easy. Again, there you are. Now, that's the same kind, okay? So basically what we're saying is we have many different cases. We're applying the same, what we're really doing is we're applying the same analogy. Okay? In the same way that if someone doesn't have an arm, so suppose he doesn't have two arms, then obviously he doesn't have to wash them when he's making wudu. Huh? No, he doesn't have them. Obviously the same person doesn't have to throw the stones at Hajj. Right? So we're talking about things that are applied in any area of fiqh. Or not actually in any, but in many areas of fiqh. As opposed to a dawabit fiqhiyya, what they call little fiqh maxims. Dawabit are just in a particular bab or particular section of fiqh. For example, if something has a little bit of najasa or a little bit of impurity, and a very small amount of impurity, it doesn't make the whole thing impure. Okay? We can apply that to many things. We can apply that to water. If you have a big thing of water and it has a little bit of impurity, it doesn't make it impure. If you have food, it has a little bit of impurity, it doesn't make... if you have clothing, for example, and just a little bit of impurity... Yeah. Now, why is that a bawabit and not a wad? Qaida. Why is that one of the bawabit? Just think of what I said here. Or what I said about that.
It's not for all
time. Hey, it is just for what? Yeah, it is just related to Kitab Tahara, or the topic of Tahara. So if you have some principles that are just related to one topic, like purity, Tahara, for example, they call that bawabit. Not Qaida. No, if you have, for example, what was the one you gave me yesterday? He's one of the brothers who, because of him we're going through this. I forget what you said. But for example, with respect to court cases, there are specific rules that you apply, or that you can apply, which only apply to court cases. They don't apply to anything else, so therefore they're called duwab. Question?
Confusion. I thought the difference
between Qawaid and Mawaqif is used in the sense that Mawaqif has a limit, say, Ahab, as an example you gave. Yeah. It says, say, the water is less than to Qulla, so that has a limit, meaning it is limited to a particular topic in fiqh. That's what they mean by limit. And a dawabit is just refers to, and you can have a dawabit that is just related to tahara. And it is a maxim, but it's only applied with respect to tahara. It's not applied with respect to buying and selling, or marriage, or these other things. While qaida should be, in general, and obviously it doesn't have to be every topic, but it can be applied to many topics.
So dawabit is related to tahara only?
No. The dawabit is related to a specific topic only. As an example, tahara. Okay. It could be related just to salat. It could be related just to buying. A specific type of buying even. Okay. Anyway, numbers 2 and 3 are, as I said, we are not going to be studying them here. Now let's go back to what we are going to be studying. Okay, the Qawaid al-Usuliyya, as I said, they are legal maxims, general legal maxims that are independent of any fiqh question. For example, if we wanted, as I think I gave this example last time, if we wanted to go from the verse that says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and we want to go from that verse to see what is the legal conclusion that we can get from it. Okay, so the verse says,
establish. As I said, we did this last time.
I'm just taking that part of the verse. Okay, this is actually a particular evidence for something. Okay, which is in the definition I erased, adillat tafsiliyah. Okay, how do we get from that to the conclusion that prayer and zakat are obligatory?
Through
qawaid. Okay. First thing, if we read the verse, we see that the verse is in the imperative form, which in Arabic is what? Just testing your linguistics. Amr. Okay, it says in the form of Amr. Okay. Secondly, we apply the qaida, suli, which is, they said, independent of any fiqh question, that the imperative implies obligation. Okay. This is a qaida, or one of the qawaid usuliya. Okay. That an imperative implies obligation. It has nothing to do with any particular fiqh question. Okay. It's not like saying that a little bit of najasa doesn't affect anything. It's not like saying that if you have hardship, you make things easier. It is independent of any fiqh question. You can almost say it has nothing to do with fiqh. Almost say that, but of course we wouldn't say that, now would we? Right? This is the kind of thing that you study in Surah al-Fiqh. This thing. You study the adilla and general. Yani what is, for example, in this case, this is a verse of the Quran. So in Usul al-Fiqh, we study what is or what is in a form of adilla or evidence, what isn't acceptable. Now without, of course, this is getting rather advanced, we haven't gotten there yet, but would you say a verse in the Quran is a type of adilla? Yes, right? Is it late at night for you people, or? But yes, yeah. The imperative implies. Yes.
This is in general.
What do you mean in general?
I mean, some cases.
Okay. Yeah, we'll discuss it in more. It is a big topic, but we'll discuss it in more detail later. Now, in this example, there are some things that we should note, which I had written down here somewhere. Okay. Okay. First thing to note is this step right here. Is that part of Usul al-Fiqh? And to say that this verse, Aqimu Salah wa Atu Zakat, is in the imperative, where do we get that from? Okay. This is from the Arabic language. Actually, it's not part of Usul al-Fiqh. And we know that from the Arabic language. Okay. The second step, as I said, this is the general principle or the legal maxim, okay, that we use to derive this fiqh ruling. The ruling itself, the conclusion, is this part of usul al-fiqh? No. Actually, the ruling itself, yani the conclusion, from a particular evidence to a conclusion, and this is actually fiqh. The conclusion is fiqh. No, it is a fiqh point. And the prayer is zakat, as I said. And I said before that fiqh tells us what is wajib, or whether something is wajib or haram or makruh or mubah. So we're saying that something is wajib. So we know that that is a fiqh question.
But the way you came up with this wajib is called a qawaid.
Yeah, and in order to derive the fiqh conclusions, we have to apply a certain fiqh, which are these qawaid. Okay. Now, getting back to a question that was raised, and also what Uthman said earlier. Oh, maybe I should leave it there. All of these qawaid usuliyah, and also the qawaid faqiyah, they have to have some evidence for them. And they are not just something that we just make up. They have to have evidence for them either from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from the Arabic language, number four, from, how should I say this? Pardon? No. This is Ahmed's not here, so I don't have to write what these are, but they'll do it anyway. Rules for general legal maximum. That's not generalized these squares for those who will. What? let's call it irrefutable logic. Or aql. Irrefutable aql. Not aql in the sense that it's used nowadays, but irrefutable logic. For example, and obviously the more proofs that something has, the stronger it will be considered. Some qawaid usuliyya, they have any proofs in all of these. To give an example, okay. When we talk about, yes, you can't hear? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay. I'll give you a qawaid usuliyya and you give me the proof. How about that? There is no, this is, when you talk about, when we study at the end of the course about taklif or who is responsible, there's a qaida that says there is no responsibility beyond what one can bear. How do you spell bear in this case? That's an animal? Okay. Hamid says it's okay, so we'll accept it. What's the proof for this side? Okay. And three or four verses in the Quran giving the same meaning. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Okay? Very clear. This qaida is derived from that evidence. Okay? I'll give you another qaida. The imperative implies obligation. What's the proof in that? Okay. It has proof from every language. It also has proof from Sunnah. What's the proof from Sunnah? Pardon me? In Quran. Yeah, actually, yeah. So this one, in other words, has lost the proofs for it. So. Okay, yeah. There's a hadith in which the Prophet says, when I order you to do something, then do something to the best of your ability. Also, what did the Prophet say about miswak, for example? when he says this, yani, that if it were not to be a hardship on my ummah, I would order them to use the miswak before every salah. Okay? His statement is telling us that if he orders us to do something, it's his obligation. Okay? How about an order must be performed promptly. And promptly, what does that mean? And fawran. An order must be performed promptly. What's the proof for that?
Arabic language.
Logic? Irrefutable logic? I don't think so. Arabic language? Why is it?
Do something.
Exactly, do something. And if you tell, for example, your servant to bring you a glass of water, and after 2 weeks he comes with a glass of water, and he did not respond to your command properly. In the Arabic language, and in order, is supposed to be performed promptly. Okay, how about this one? If two mujtahids, have opposite conclusions about something, one of them must be wrong. Yeah, that's irrefutable logic. Same with the principle that says that a slave or abd cannot be ordered to do something and not to do it at the same time. That's qaida. Okay. Pardon me? If the explanations are compatible, if they're talking about a verse in the Quran, if the Quran is open to more than one meaning, or the explanations are compatible, and then you might, but here that's why I said they come to opposite conclusions. If they're explaining a verse in the Quran, they come to opposite conclusions. I don't think that's acceptable. Yeah. Yeah, well, if they use different approaches and one says that salat is wajib and the other one says that salat is haram, then you know that one of them has to be wrong.
No.
At least one of them is wrong. There you are.
You might use different approaches to reach the same conclusion. Is it okay?
No. This is not what they're saying. Okay.
Whenever they see different approaches, they see definitely
they will have. Now, this doesn't say anything about the approaches. This says if two mujtahids have the opposite conclusions about something, one of them must be wrong. Okay, this shows you how dangerous it is to use aqidah. Something is clear, this we're arguing about it. This should be one.
If the premises are different, then it's okay.
No. The truth is one. If they come to opposite conclusions, one says the thing is haram, the other one says it's wajib, one of them has to be wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying that it's the same premise, the same hypothesis.
If they're talking about the same topic, regardless of how they get to their conclusion, doesn't matter. Just forget this for a second. If they're talking about the one topic, who cares how they get to their result? If they come up with different results, one of them has to be wrong.
But that has nothing to do with logic, because the logic says that you go from the same premise. Okay, and
that's why I said not logic. I said irrefutable logic, which is different from logic. logic, there's many points in logic, منطق, يعني, which are questionable. But related to the Quran and Sunnah, if we relate logic to the Quran and Sunnah, there's some points which are irrefutable. For example, the truth is one. يعني, you cannot say about the same thing, okay, someone says it's haram, the other one says it's wajib. Yeah.
My point is, after the conclusion
was no. No, it doesn't have to be there. No, it doesn't have to be there.
ممكن
يعني واحد يقول صلاة سنة والثاني يقول حرام. اي طيب. I think it's water يعني in my
estimation.
Go ahead.
One says
no, he says that the word haram, the other says no, they are
okay. Okay, one of them is wrong. When the one who
says haram, maybe the other. That doesn't matter. We're not talking about yani is the mujtahid yani wrong in his approach or is he atom. We're not talking about that. We're saying yani that one of them must be wrong because pictures cannot be both halal haram at the same time. They cannot be. At least yani before this century, according to Aqid and irrefutable logic, it could not be, unless there's some new logic nowadays that Ilyas knows. The rest of us don't know. Yani it cannot be.
Because the logic means, for example, you can allow part of the surah is okay, the other part is okay. When it comes.
Now, I'm talking about, if you're talking about one topic, and you come to opposite conclusions, one of them must be wrong. So obviously this points out one thing, that obviously the first three sources, or the first three proofs are much stronger than the fourth proof. Okay. How about this? Let me ask you, let's confuse everything a little bit more. let's stop there. I think we've done enough damage for for today. I'm going to ask this question, but I don't know why I'm going to ask this question. Is this clear? Everything clear up to now? So, much of what we're going to be studying, we're going to be studying the Adilla and the Qawaid. And the Qawaid have to have some evidence for them. And these are the sources of the evidence. Yeah.
If there is only one Qur'an, for example,
why is there a difference? What? Oh, Ibn Abbas, he explained that to Umar ibn Khattab. He said, you and I, we lived at a time when we know what the revelation is talking about. There's going to be people coming later who are going to interpret it according to the Ra'i. They don't know what has been yani revealed about. And when they interpret it to according to the Ra'i or their opinion, they're going to differ and they're going to fight. With respect to yani, it still doesn't affect this yani. One of them is wrong. So how about not ma'thum? Something what? Are you trying to say that we should never use Quran as a dilla? Okay, this course is going to tell us how to understand the Quran according to the Arabic language. Okay? And it is, inshallah, going to make things clear. And the Quran is not a book just anyone can come and read it and interpret it. But it's revealed in Arabic language, and it has, yani, principles. And when we talk about asbab ikhtilaf al-fuqaha, yani, we'll go back to the time of the Sahaba and see why they had some different opinions. But it still doesn't, in effect, anything we've discussed so far, yeah. Aywa? Oh. Did it, still going, both of them? Okay. It's okay?
It's
almost. Wait, how do you do it? Where's the eject button? Excuse us for a moment, won't you?